You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
In a world filled with chaos and confusion, in an echo chamber filled with lies and deceptions, comes a ray of light. Live from Madison, Wisconsin, it's John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
Hi, yes. WMDX. 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the Morning. Dom at the controls, and another day of watching the country just tear apart. That's something I'm looking forward to.
Well, good morning. Yeah, rise and shine, shake a leg, up and at 'em, top of the morning to you.
Just one thing after the next.
Off to a good start.
I just I just want to throw up my hands and just say, you know, that's it. You know, it's all over.
Really?
It's all over, but for the fat lady singing, right?
Okay. That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Good morning, Dom. How are you?
Okay.
Oh, just okay?
There's a reason why I'm just okay. As I said yesterday, or a couple days ago, I was a Bears fan, and they lost. And
oh, yeah, that's right. It was last night on Monday Night Football. Yeah.
And I had way too much pizza, and this morning... My stomach is killing me.
What the hell did you have on the damn pizza?
Pepperoni, that's it.
That's but it?
I had the whole pizza myself, yeah.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my.
What kind of pizza? Like a frozen pizza?
A frozen pizza from Aldi, yep.
And they have good pizza. You know, here's the thing I have to say. You guys, you Gen Zers, you know, like I told you earlier on another show, my son gets these boxes of instant pudding. And it's four or five servings, you know. Yeah. Eats the whole damn thing at once. You know, you really have to.
Moderation.
You can't have leftovers.
It's too good. It's too good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right.
So the Vikings beat the Bears. I went to bed before halftime.
It was very close score.
It was. Yeah. It was. And we were doing good for the majority of the game. Then we lost it. We lost it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad. Yeah.
It made me go in a pizza coma.
Okay. Well, good. It's kind of cloudy out there this morning, but not as chilly as it was yesterday morning.
No.
Yeah, we're in the mid-50s, 54 degrees currently. Highs today in the mid-70s, low to mid-70s. A little bit later on, we're going to talk to Jim Conway. He's an expert in infectious diseases and vaccinations. He's a professor of pediatrics, and we'll talk to him later this hour. And what else? Oh, we have, I think Brittany Merlot will be returning today. Believe so.
Yeah,
right?
That's the plan, I think. Yeah.
So we'll get the latest on what's happening weather-wise.
All right.
And today, I think, is the first day that Willie Street, the parking is back on Willie Street. They've changed things over there. You know, they wanted to get the traffic a little bit more situated so people didn't keep running into the buildings. So, you know, put cars there instead. Bring the cars back in, and that'll keep people from weaving off the road into the buildings.
I think it's a great idea. I never understood taking the parking away because there will always be a straggler. There will always be a car there in some way, shape, or form. John Nolan dumps out with two lanes onto that one. Yeah. Normally on Willie Street, but then they open it up for two lanes, which confuses a lot of drivers. They don't know how to drive that area. There's a right-hand turn there, but you can't turn there. Only buses can turn there. It's just a nightmare. Just, you know, tampering with this confuses people. Well, and this is the way to go.
Well, just wait till they start working on John Nolan Drive. That's in the mix, too. That's going to happen in just a few weeks. Going to shut down parts of John Nolan for the next 2 years.
Yeah, let's get into this. I know. I mean, they've got real work coming up there. They've got to rechange the shoreline just a little bit, you know, add some land, make a longer and wider bike path. It's just, It's you know what we do for bicyclists and then you know I just want to say you know go away you know let's not do these things for the bicyclists. I'm sorry, but you know you have enough trails already. Go away.
Well, regardless of
get
the
off my lawn.
Okay, regardless of the bicyclists,
yes.
They still have to remodel John Nolan
they
Drive.
They do, and it's going to be
a long time
it's
coming.
Be a tragedy trying to get through there. I mean, it really is kind of a shortcut for a lot of people.
Yes,
you know,
it's a major artery.
That's not the only controversy that's out there. I found this yesterday, and I thought, wow, this is that one time we'll really talk local stuff here.
What's
and that is. Changing Stoughton Road.
What?
You know? Yeah. They want to change Stoughton Road from, let's say, Highway 30.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
South to the Beltline. They have too many traffic accidents. I'm trying to wrap my head around where do you have the traffic accidents
it's
on this part of the road.
It's just a straight stretch.
It's a straight stretch. You're right. Where are the accidents? What are you talking about?
Why do they have to... change it. Needs to be changed?
Because there are
there?
Too many accidents, that's why they want to change it. I don't see any real reason for traffic accidents there. Here's the thing. It's beautiful. Stoughton Road is beautiful north of Highway 30, right?
Right.
It's like four or five lanes. It's beautiful. I mean, you can drive 55 miles per hour. So what do they want to do? They want to You know, it's always the local crazy people that want you to go maybe 25 miles per hour in Stoughton Road. Come on. We've already proven the fact that we need Stoughton Road for very high-speed traffic that can't make it onto I-94, right?
Right.
So here we are. These people. I took some of the story down. After the summer's public meeting with the Department of Transportation, resident Gabriel Hill voiced frustration with the state's response to community feedback. No. Really? Hill said residents and alders have been clear about wanting safer crossings, okay. Less noise,
yeah.
More walkability.
Walkability on Stoughton Road?
I get so mad. And streets that felt like neighborhoods again.
Okay.
What in the God? Where are you living? What's wrong with you? Oh, my God.
Now, they have frontage roads all along there.
I know. There are frontage roads. You can go as slow
totally.
As you want. You can walk along the frontage roads, right?
Right. Nobody wants to walk on Stoughton Road.
No one does. But here's the thing. They want people to cross safely on Stoughton Road. Well, that's always a problem, right? I mean, it's a very fast road, and you have people crossing Stoughton Road to get to maybe Quick Trip across the street.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
Yeah.
Trying to recall if there are any Quick Trips on Stoughton Road.
No, there aren't any on Stoughton Road. There is on, and I'm trying to.
Flom?
It's not Flom. It's the next one up.
I don't know.
I should know
that. Buckeye Road? Maybe?
Yeah, Buckeye Road. Right. It's Buckeye. So anyway. They're worried about students and people walking in that area.
Yeah.
And, this is Stoughton Road.
It's a highway, really.
It's speed, you know, for most of the way. And all of a sudden you get near Buckeye Road and that's where it slows. Not, in fact, I'll be honest, it doesn't even slow down at that point.
No, not really.
It's still 55 all the way through.
Yes.
And there's. Like you say, frontage roads, you don't have to worry about it. People get off on the frontage roads and they go as slow as they want. Everybody speeds through there. This is the way to get from one side of town to the next. So they want to feel like neighborhoods again, and they want a walkability, and they want less noise. What are you talking about?
I can't imagine a lot of pedestrian traffic crossing Stoughton Road to get where? I mean, you've got... There's convenience stores on either side, eventually.
Well,
you know, no?
I don't think there are
no?
Around Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Okay.
I don't think maybe not. I don't know. And it says here, however, when Wisconsin DOT talked about improvements, they often mean adding a lane, which is great. Add a lane. The current speed along Stoughton Road's southern section is 55 miles per hour. in every plan being considered. The limit would be lowered to 45 miles per hour, with options for some stretches of the road to be reduced to 35 miles per hour. Let's make it even more dangerous, you know, slowing people down from 55 to 45 and then to 35. What are you thinking? Alderman Sean O'Brien represents the neighborhood bordering much of the southern stretch of South Stoughton Road. He supports remaking the road into a boulevard like East Washington Avenue, which might also be a good idea.
Okay.
But if you need an extra lane, why are you going to put more grass between the two roads?
I wonder if they are planning on putting more bus stops there or something.
Well, I don't
know, like East Wash.
And I didn't include this in the story, but I did read that the DOT, by the way, is thinking their main plan was to add the lanes, keep the 55, but the local businesses around there with the frontage roads were worried that it would obscure their businesses. The highway would obscure their businesses somehow, and people wouldn't be able to see the stores along Stoughton Road. So the local people canceled that. And that was the best solution of all. Keep it the same from the north to the south.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a throughway.
It is.
My God.
Okay.
Oh, you know, I'm
it's exhausting.
You know, we have all this traffic information.
Well, there are a lot of cars.
Well.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse. People are moving here. You know, the city is growing.
Yeah.
And what do they want to do? They want to make it into a neighborhood.
Okay.
Oh, how nice. How nice, you know. Walkability. I want walkability along Stoughton Road because, you know, 55 miles per hour is okay. I don't feel endangered. You know,
They're going to have to put some pedestrian overpasses like on the Beltline.
That's what you have to do.
Stoughton Road is a highway. It's not a road. It's a throughway.
And one of the best examples, Gordy, I think you'll probably recognize this too. It's 151 Verona Road, going to Verona from, the Beltline to Verona.
Sure.
And along the way up to PD, McKee Road, it's beautiful. It's like four lanes. It's gorgeous.
Right.
You can go very fast along there. Well, you shouldn't, but you can go very fast along there. And there are turnoffs to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, they remodeled that.
It's perfect, right?
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It must be a little tough for the pedestrian traffic to get across.
No, they can go under the bridge.
Oh, that's right. They can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't they do something like that on Stoughton?
Yeah, walk around Bennett's, you know, maybe stop by for some eggs and porn. And then.
Oh, my God. All right.
But.
Well, that's traffic talk this morning.
Well, I think we've solved the whole problem.
We wanted to be local, you know. This is local.
Oh, well, sure. This is local, but, people have got to grow up, you know. Just get with the actor. You know, this is a city that's growing, and we need the speed to get from one side to the other. We don't need neighborhood traffic and pedestrian comfort and no noise, you know. Well, if you don't want noise, then go to an EV. Everybody should buy EVs.
When we were driving to the Brewers game, there was the EV. It was
silent.
The whole way.
Yeah.
The whole way, even in Milwaukee, you know?
Yeah.
It was great.
I know. The space car.
The space car.
I always thought that, you know, if they had demonstrations of EVs all around the country, people would buy more EVs. Just let people drive. Test them out.
Why not?
They would be impressed.
Love it. Okay. We're just getting started on this Tuesday morning. When we come back, would you rather or would you rather not?
I would rather not. Or I would rather.
Yeah. Okay.
You would rather do would you rather. Okay.
Okay.
It's all coming up on John and Gordy, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
In Madtown. All right, WMTX.
What's the matter?
92.7. I'm watching Kettle Moraine Heating again. Their ads are on the station, Scripps News, and they've got a lot of ads on here. They just killed a dinosaur that attacked them. I just love it. I guess, you know, they're attacking heat with air conditioning. That's, okay. That was the point. But they're cute ads, I have to say that.
Very cute. Them. It's 23 minutes past the hour. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young, along with Dominic Lee. And now it's time for Would You Rather, right?
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
The
standing by. Or Would You Rather?
This is.
Oh, this is.
Would You Rather? Okay. All right.
Starts out well.
It takes forever to start. All right, first question. Would you rather have access to classified government documents or the ability to influence global stock markets? This one, you know.
Global markets.
Really?
I want to control the world.
Oh, man.
I kind of agree. I think I'm going to go global stock markets
I'd go with the classified documents. I think there's a lot of interesting reading there.
Oh. Find out who that big paycheck was made out to, huh?
Sure.
My wife thinks it was Melania.
Which paycheck are you talking about?
Where they released the picture of Epstein holding this gigantic fake cardboard paycheck.
Oh, cardboard paycheck?
And And they... they blacked out the name of the person it was made out to, but I didn't say it. Ann said that.
Okay.
That's Melania. I'll bet that's how much he paid Melania.
Could be.
So you're going to switch your answer then, maybe. Classified government documents. You want to know who?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not interesting.
Okay.
You know, this whole administration is not interesting.
All right. Second question. Would you rather have to approve every highway billboard personally or wave at every car that passes by when you are driving? Every single one. Oh, man, that would be terrible.
Billboards.
Yeah, I would do billboards,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, but there's a lot of billboards.
I'd like to see more imaginative billboards.
Mm,
yep. And
really?
More electronic ones.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're all in the same boat on that.
You agree as well?
I like the billboard thing.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's all I got for today, guys.
Really?
That's it?
Weren't you told by one of our listeners that you needed at least a number of options here?
Yeah, we got
like three or four options?
No. Gordy's neighbors gave me options.
That's right. Gordy's neighbors said that.
They never said that. They just gave me an option yesterday, which I already did it on the air.
Okay.
And
You should workshop a closing thing for this, a closer.
Like an outro?
You have an intro, you need an outro.
Yeah, yeah, that's
this
true.
This has been Would You Rather.
Oh, God. You guys really want to hear that?
I do.
Right.
I do. I want to see where you go with this.
I'll go with that.
All right, all right. Yeah.
An outro. How much reverb you could use?
Well, I can do a lot. There we go.
I know. Okay. We didn't even know what that intro meant for the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So,
yeah.
A little bit later on, we're going to talk to Jim Conway just in about 20 minutes, right? Or so.
Right.
Yeah. He's, you know, there's been a lot of talk about RFK Jr. going in front of Congress and them questioning him and about infectious diseases and vaccinations and everything else. And hopefully Jim Conway will help straighten some of that out.
Well,
although it's a tangled mess.
It's a mess.
What can you say? But he's a professor of pediatrics and knows a lot about that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, school us.
I'm just interested in this Donald Trump solicitation for money. $15 donations from supporters.
For what?
He wants to raise some money for himself. So he says he wants to try and get to heaven, and he thinks that somehow you have to pay at the door. I guess. I don't know. I don't know why he's using that as an excuse to raise
one
money.
Grift after another.
I want to go to heaven. Well, you don't have to pay to get in if you're really going into heaven.
Yeah.
You know, they may even actually trick them. You know, it may look like heaven. Right? Come on in. Come on in. Oh, you know, it's $300,000. It gets in there. It's a little warm. here's his letter. He says, I want to try and get to heaven. It's got his picture on the top of it. Last year, I came millimeters from death when that bullet pierced through my skin. My triumph return to the White House was never supposed to happen. But I believe that God saved me for one reason, to make America great again. I wasn't supposed to be crooked Hillary in 2016, but I did. Yep, I wasn't supposed to, secure the border, but I did. I certainly wasn't supposed to survive an assassin's bullet, but by the grace of the Almighty God, I did. So now I have no other choice but to answer the call to duty. But I can't do it alone. Again, he wants to try to get to heaven. Send $15. Yeah, remember when he was asking for $15 and he says, but you know what? If you can't afford it, don't worry about it. You won't have to worry about elections anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, this is an attempt to go to heaven. You know? Don't send him a penny.
Boy, is that brand new? Is that his latest grift?
Yeah, his latest. Yeah, I think he's been doing this for a couple of weeks now.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right. It is time for Midwest Food and Farm Report. And when we come back, Idiocracy on John and Gordy for a Tuesday morning, WMDX.
Just trade them for a package of the sunshine and flowers. 'Cause if you want the things you love, you must have the showers. So if you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Intelligence continued to decline until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems.
The inner machinations of my mind are an enigma.
No! You dense, irritating, miniature beast of burden!
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Oh, man. There's so much stuff. You know, when I doom scrolled last night, I was like, oh my God, every one of these stories we could talk about this morning. And it's that bad. All right, WMDX 92.7. Maybe it's good that we don't have every story on this program.
It's 6:35. It's cloudy in some places this morning. Some of it's clearing out as well already. Temperatures in the mid-50s. We'll get into the low 70s later on, a mix of clouds and some sun.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you know, I always thought that the Trump administration this time around is pretty much like The Apprentice, you know? you win, you lose. Some of the people don't work out. You know, what do they become? Ambassadors, right? And they don't get kicked off completely. You're not fired.
Nobody's been fired yet.
Because the last time he did that, everybody wrote books about him. So this time around, you know, he's giving them ambassadorships so they don't write books and tell tales. Okay, that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But I thought this comment was pretty fitting for all of this. We are currently living under a regime that employs over 30 people who used to work for a TV station that was fined $787 million for lying to its viewers. So maybe it's something we should all consider. Keep in the back of our minds.
You're talking about what? The Fox thing with the voting machines?
Yeah, the voting machines, right. Yeah. Mm. And they lied through their teeth.
Yeah,
they knew they were lying.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, this is one way of passing the loyalty test. And they have passed, and now they're part of the administration again. 30 people from TV stations. One, really. Fox News.
The network.
Oh, my gosh. All right, here's one health-related. RFK Jr. believes the health advisory panel is woke. Now, that can be dangerous, right? I mean, you know, they're putting off the panel's recommendations because they're a little afraid of what might come out. In fact, we're watching RFK on their monitor here in the studio right now. Mm-hmm. New polling on vaccine policies. No kidding. You think people are for him? Anyway, his panel, his advisory panel is responsible for creating recommendations for preventive care, including mammograms and colonoscopies that health insurance plans must cover at no cost. That's the importance of this advisory panel. If they don't recommend this stuff, it's not covered. In fact, there was a lawsuit at the Supreme Court level that tried to get all of these preventive care services taken off because they didn't want to pay for somebody else's checkups. Well, thank gosh the Supreme Court threw that one out. But anyway, critics accused the panel of being influenced by left-wing ideology for considering factors like systemic racism in its recommendations. I don't, you know, it's just, it's this paranoia about being taken advantage of, right? This is the problem with Trump and RFK Jr. They think everybody's trying to game the system like they would.
Right.
They think other people are like them, and that's not true. But you know what? They wanted to get rid of mammograms. They wanted to get rid of that checkup.
Jeez. Really?
Yes. Yes. That's right. So, you know, there are so many smaller stories to the big stories that we've been talking about here on the show. And that's why I was doom scrolling and feeling horrible, because there's just, if you go at the micro level, you'll see all the other things that we're not talking about, we can't talk about, because it's just too much of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going on in the system all over the place. So, yeah, we've got a lot of surprises coming up in this administration, my God.
I want to know what Jim Conway thinks of that as well, especially since we talked to him this next segment.
So. Yeah, we'll be along in 10 minutes or so.
Well, you know, everybody's familiar with the James Bond villain, Sebastian Gorka, right? Somehow he escaped the movie screen and he's up there.
He's a piece of work.
With the administration. Oh, my gosh. Well, he melted down after getting fact-checked for blaming the transgender community for mass shootings. There's no evidence gender identity had any influence on Robin Westman's decision to shoot children at the Catholic school. Let's listen to cut number four here.
You know, 96% of attackers in, when you're looking at the U.S. Secret Service National Threat Assessment Center, looking at 172 mass attacks in the U.S. between 2016 and 2020, 96% were non-trans men. So I know you're focusing on this shooter being trans. The shooter was trans, and that is certainly of note. But are you missing the bigger picture here when you zero in on that instead of more broadly these school shooters as an epidemic, and you perhaps miss the through line that connects them all?
Well, no, because your facts obfuscate two things. You are using data based upon the predominant gun violence, which is gang-on-gang violence with zero ideological content. If you remove all of that, then you come down to a much smaller data set. So let's concentrate on mass shootings at schools, specifically Christian or Catholic schools, then the data set is wholly different. So don't conflate different data sets just to make a political point. There was an ideological content to this attack. That's what terrorism is. It's not because somebody didn't get the drug deal they wanted. It is an ideological message, whether it was anti-Israel, as in this case, whether it targeted President Trump in its rhetoric, as we saw on one of the magazines written by the perpetrator on that YouTube video, or whether we saw the fact that it was anti-Christian and targeting children. That has nothing to do with gang violence.
So let's narrow it down then, because by CNN's count, when you look at 32 school shootings since 2020, in which you have four or more people who have been killed. So these are the larger school shootings. Only three of 32 of those shootings were committed by transgender shooters.
Yeah, forgive me if I don't go with CNN stats, okay?
Oh, yeah.
CNN has proven itself to be wholly inaccurate
in all
kinds of things for the last 10 years.
All right, it's simple math. Two of 32
shootings. No, it's not. It's distortions. You are distorting the facts. Let me be clear. In just a couple of years, we have seen 7 mass shootings involving people of transgender nature or who are confused in their gender. 7
I saw what
in
you
just
tweeted.
The last couple
I
of
see,
years.
I
that
see your list of 7.
That is inordinately high. So
I
please,
see your list of 7. Two of them
I'm
are...
I'm going to stick not CNN's pseudo-facts.
We can't stick with your facts because they're not accurate. In fact, in 2 of them, one of the ones you quoted...
Well, let's talk about CNN's reputation for accuracy.
In one of the ones in which you posted, there was no evidence CNN's, that he was trans.
Right.
In another... The individual is known within his family by male pronouns and used anti-LGBT rhetoric.
You have an agenda.
Yeah. No, well, I have a point to make. And you don't. Mm. Maybe this blowback because of mega vilification of gender dysphoria is coming back to haunt him now. Mm. You know, maybe he can't defend himself because he didn't expect something like this. The shooter was involved with online scripture that worships mass shooters. That was also a major factor in all of this stuff. And the fact that the shooter was not exactly transgender, had considered maybe different ways of describing himself, but that doesn't mean he's a transgender individual. This is crazy stuff. I mean, you know, Sebastian Gorka is, you know, truly one of those crazy people.
Where did he come from?
Like I said, I think he stepped out of the movie screen. You know, it was like the movie Last Action Hero, you know, which is really a fantastically great movie. But, yeah, I think he just stepped out with an accent like that.
I know.
Seriously.
Yeah.
But it's soothing. It's a soothing voice. Michael Jensen, research director at the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism, has identified more than 1,000 mass casualty plots when the perpetrator clearly intended to kill or injure as many people as possible since the start of 2023. He wrote, "You can count on less than one hand how many of those were perpetrated by transgender individuals." So Sebastian Gorka is wrong. The CNN host was right. I can't remember her name.
Brianna Taylor.
Yep.
Brianna. I don't know. Well,
yeah. All right. Anyway, that's the big story
okay.
there. I always like listening to Sebastian Gorka.
Really, he should be an action, you know, a villain.
A villain.
Action
in
movie.
In a movie. Yeah. All right. Let's get to some commentary. This is fantastic stuff. We've been trying to get to this a long time. John Stewart on Israel. He says he feels like he's watching something that is so self-evidently inhumane and horrific. Let's listen to cut number 2.
This has rocked my... I feel like a crazy person. I feel like I'm watching something that is so self-evidently inhumane and horrific. And to be told that I have to shut up because I risk... the Jewish state by speaking out, I would say the opposite. I think they're putting the likelihood of a surviving Jewish state much more at risk with this type of action. I think they're the ones that are being anti-Semitic. If you wanted to define Netanyahu, with the definition of anti-Semitism, would probably have to bomb himself.
That's right. And, you know, it was described one way. It was saying, well, which is worse, you know, starving Palestinians, as they are doing, or not treating the sick from the injuries that they get from trying to get the food? Seriously.
Right.
Uh-huh. Mehdi Hassan wrote about Bibi, who posted absolute BS the other day. He wrote, "Guy indicted by the International Criminal Court for war crimes and crimes against humanity, including using starvation as a weapon of war, endorses the cover-up of his starvation by the free press." This is Benjamin Netanyahu posted this, and this is from the free press. Sadly, they didn't do well covering this. Let's listen. $199.
So you've probably seen these photos of skeletal kids in Gaza on front pages, all over social media, even in a UNICEF ad. They've become the symbols of famine. But we decided to look into these photos and the stories behind them. And what we found is that in case after case, these kids were sick, but not just with malnutrition. In every instance, they were suffering with other conditions or illnesses like cystic fibrosis, cerebral palsy, and even traumatic head injuries.
A few weeks ago,
I started to notice that the same kids were appearing over and over again in coverage about Gaza, and they were being photographed by different photographers, which suggests some element of coordination.
Mm-hmm. Something else, huh? Again, the question, starving Palestinians or not treating them if they're sick or injured?
Yeah.
Which is worse?
What's the choice?
Yeah, that's it's outrageous. And, you know, the Free Press is getting, you know, lambasted for this particular coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they should. Yeah. And it's just so outrageous what's going on in Gaza that, you know, it's still, because of what Trump is doing, it's off the front pages. But really, truly, this is a humanitarian disaster.
It's awful. It is 6:48. Coming up right around the corner here, next, Jim Conway. He's a professor of pediatrics. We're going to be talking about vaccinations and infectious diseases. That's next on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, John and Gordy going one step beyond.
It is 6:52, weather today, highs in the low 70s, right now 54 degrees. You know, currently more than 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's, and over 11 million family and friends provide their unpaid care. We need your help in ending this devastating disease. Why don't you join us at the 2025 Walk to End Alzheimer's? It's happening Sunday, October 5th at Warner Park. You can go to our website, WMDXradio.com, and check out our Walk for Alzheimer's. Okay, time now to have Jim Conway join us. He is a professor of pediatrics and an expert on infectious diseases and vaccinations. Jim, good morning to you.
Welcome back.
Good to have you with us.
Yes.
Yeah, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
All right.
So much in the news.
There really is, where do we start? Vaccines, and that's one of the things that's confusing a lot of people. What we've seen in Florida with the Surgeon General's decree that they want to remove mandates for vaccines for everybody in the state, but including, of course, children in schools. It's scaring a lot of people in Florida. We saw a little screenshot of DeSantis addressing the issue. A lot of concerned parents are wondering what's going on and how all of this is going to unwind. And, of course, this still needs approval from the legislature in Florida. What do you think of something like this? I don't believe there's any state in the country that doesn't mandate some form of vaccine for children, at least.
Yeah, it's held up in court decisions now for centuries, really, that, you know, when we put kids into these places where we ask them to work and play together and share, unfortunately, one of the things that they're going to share is microbes. And so there is sort of a social obligation to keep kids safe in those settings. And one of the ways that we do that is to exclude them when they have illnesses. But as part of that, you can also then require them to have vaccines that'll protect them against these diseases, but also protect the other kids by having these kids not able to bring those diseases into the schools. And so, you know, that's held up now for literally centuries. And it is one of those things that parents have come to expect and teachers have come to expect as well, that they're going to be protected if we're going to essentially have these sort of mass congregation settings.
Yeah. Well, you know, the confusion over the vaccines, whether they work or not, we're finding out, of course, you know, from RFK Jr., who says they don't work, they're really not effective. And that, of course, creates a lot of questions for the public. Now they don't know whether the CDC is actually telling them the truth. it creates a tremendous amount of uncertainty in the public. And this is really doing horrible, I guess, public health concerns for everybody in the country. Consequences. Yeah. Do we have a cut here for this? Let me see here. I think I have something here. Oh, a CNN. Oh, here. Let's go to CNN stats on vaccines. Do you have that at all?
Let's look for that.
Yeah, 25.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Let's play that.
These agencies, the FDA, USDA, and CDC, all of them are controlled by giant for-profit corporations. 75% of the FDA's funding doesn't come from taxpayer. It comes from pharma. And pharma executives and consultants and lobbyists cycle in and out of these agencies with President Trump's backing. I'm going to change that. We're going to staff these agencies with honest scientists and doctors who are free from industry funding.
All right, let's stop it right there. Jim, what do you think of something like that, that kind of accusation?
Yeah, it's just a misplaced and misunderstanding of really how things work. I mean, certainly, you know, when pharmaceutical companies have to put their packets together to submit for review and approval of a drug, you know, they have to pay for that process. Hmm. But that doesn't mean that that's being used to then impact the decisions that are being made. You know, I think one of the things that we all have to recognize is that science to happen has to be funded. And, you know, that's a combination. It can't all fall on the backs of the taxpayers and the government. And so we know that the pharmaceutical industry funds a lot of the research that goes on because they obviously have a vested interest in creating products. But that's also how much of the best stuff works. And many scientists, many universities, many organizations work with those organizations to create the best drugs that we can get. And so it's really sort of a twisting of the reality to say that then that's exactly what's happening when the decisions get made on what gets approved. So, you know, while it may sound good in a sound clip, you know, really it's undermining the whole basis of how we get things done in this country and how science marches forward.
I've always heard that a lot of this research is actually funded by the public. The NIH, colleges, of course, have done a lot of research. And then it goes from the NIH into the FDA, and they dole out who gets these drugs to, you know, continue the research and refine the product. Is that how it works?
It's complicated because it really depends on what the product is and, you know, how the process works. I mean, certainly a lot of the basic science around the idea for vaccines comes out of just basic science. And you're right. You know, for years it's been funded by CDC and NIH and the others. And certainly, you know, universities fund a lot of that as well. But it's really sort of a give and take process. It depends on where you are in discovering and understanding the disease, discovering then what are the drivers of the disease and how do you protect against that disease. And, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, we wouldn't have any of these drugs if they weren't involved and weren't interested in helping us actually fix these things, because somebody's got to have the manufacturing capacity. But they've, you know, by definition in our country, got to have some output in a capitalist society. The U.S. pharmaceutical industry really, in many ways, has driven globally all of the scientific developments that we've seen. And that's certainly going to be, hopefully going forward, the way we see things still unfolding.
Yeah, it's very tenuous at this point. All right. Well, Jim, that's all the time we have at this point.
We appreciate you being with us.
Of course.
It's Jim Conway, professor of pediatrics. We appreciate it.
And we have so much more to talk about. We'll get you back on the program.
Mm-hmm. No worries. You know where to find me.
Okay, very good. We're back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning, our 7 o'clock hour just around the corner. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.